KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right, welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
That's right. We didn't have a show last week, but we're back.
We're better than ever.
We're sure. Back from the Thanksgiving little break, I guess.
We had a little holiday. You had a little holiday. Hopefully you caught up on some of the archives and the show notes and our watch party stuff too.
And how can they do that if they're like, whoa, I didn't even know you guys had that stuff?
That information has slipped by you, good news, it's still there.
It is?
At
the internet's still there?
The internet is always there, as long as you have internet connection
and
power. But that's a different issue. but you can go to robotsattack.me for the archives, for show notes, for watch party. Pretty much everything that you need to know about Robots Attack exists on that page at that URL. And if you are feeling social, like right now, you can hit the interact button on robotsattack.me, and that will give you a list of where you can find us. Or you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one phrase, no extra punctuation. Those are open in the background. We are watching them right now, and we will have our show enhanced, and you will have your show enhanced by giving your input. You think. Let us know if we've missed an important story, or if you want to hear more about something, less of something else. We want to know how you enjoy the show.
That's right. And if we should be anywhere else. Plus, the stories we talk about during our news portion and whatnot usually a lot of times have cool pictures or videos, which,
that's right.
You know, since it's radio, it's a little difficult to, you know, broadcast that over the radio.
You can't see the radio pictures unless you're telepathic.
Not yet.
But if you can, you're probably looking at it on the internet anyway. So,
So there you go. You're one step closer.
Mm-hmm.
To robot domination.
Yeah, I for one welcome our robot overlords.
Traitor. Speaking of, I was hoping there was a PSA about it in our PSA binder, but I guess the school's having some sort of robot. I kind of caught it glancing while I was heading down to the station, but some sort of robot show on the 9th or something like that. So, you know, go and check it out. Support the school and support robots.
Sure. Robotics is an important thing, and actually I have an interesting story about that in the news today.
Excellent.
Jeez.
Well, before we get to all that news stuff, how have you been since, you know, we didn't have a show last week, so it's been a little bit, and we like we mentioned, there was the little Thanksgiving for our American audience.
Yes.
For everyone else, it was Thursday.
Yes. And for those that don't celebrate Thanksgiving, you didn't even notice. But for those of us who enjoyed our turkey day, it was really good. I had a lot of fun with family.
Nice,
very low
nice.
Key.
Okay.
Very
good.
Mellow.
That's good.
I actually did not get turkey at either of the Thanksgiving celebrations.
Wow.
we ended up having ham at both of them, which I don't complain about because I like ham too.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I did.
So does that mean like for the Christmas break coming up, you want to get that turkey fix?
Possible. There might be some turkey fix coming in, and we will probably make ourselves like a roast turkey piece at home one of these weekends, just to kind of
have your own little Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Kind of. Yeah, but it was fun. Ended up with two because one side of the family was going up to Sacramento to celebrate up there with extended family in that area.
Okay.
So we did the day before with them, and then day of was with the part of the family that was still in town. So, which was nice because my parents were in from their home in Washington State.
Oh, nice!
So, yeah, it was nice to see them again.
Cool, cool.
Yes. How about yourself? How was your?
It was pretty laid back. Didn't really go anywhere. Just kept it just with my folks and ate a lot. I had turkey. Didn't have any ham this time, but I had probably way too much because I was like, yeah, I still plan on streaming tonight, you know, but by the time I was done eating and everything, I was like, it's kind of, it wasn't late, but it was, you know, it was a few hours already into the usual time that I stream, and you know, I had eaten all that food and was just kind of like
food coma.
Yeah, I think I'll just pass. I'm sure there's plenty of things for other people to do. So
it was tryptophan Jenga as he took a nap in front of his Kinect in front of the screen.
Yeah. So but it was good. I mean, you know,
cool. Like I said. Now, since you didn't stream on Thanksgiving, when do you how do we find you normally for streaming?
Oh, well, if you're interested in watching me stream, I stream on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Right.
At 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, just so you know.
I was
like, well, wait, is that Eastern? Is that this? You know?
Yeah.
And you can watch me on Twitch. If you're unfamiliar with Twitch, it's a service that allows people to broadcast their games, and you can watch them and jump into chat and chat with other people who are watching.
Or, yeah, and I must say that your chat room is one of the exceptional ones.
Oh, thank you. I try to make it fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the big parts, you know. Some people come, you know, they want to watch the game. They don't want to participate in the chat. They'll just lurk, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's totally fine. But, you know, I try to make it too. If you are there for the game, but also to chat with people, it's kind of like, it's, you know, I've had some people ask like, you know, watching someone play, it's not really my thing. And it's like, hey, I totally get that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for some people, it's just like, I want to play the video game. I don't want to watch somebody play it.
Right.
I can totally understand that. So for those people, I try to make the chat room
very interactive.
Yeah. Fun for them to come in and, you know, talk and hang out with people there, kind of like the old chat days
like
of yore.
Back in 1999 again.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopping on AIM chat rooms. And
exactly. You know, it's your chance to hang out with people who are, you know, not local. Like my buddy in Canada or the people in New Zealand. And
exactly.
England and all of the states and stuff like that. So it's a cool experience. I try to make it fun for everyone.
Yeah.
Welcome, as long as you're not a troll and you don't spoil stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please don't do that. So what name do you look for? What page do we go to?
Go to JangoFett25.
JangoFett25, twitch.tv.
That's right. But yeah, that's, and then let's see, I finished off Rise of the Tomb Raider, and which is great. And then I finally jumped into Fallout 4.
I saw you on there a moment ago.
Yeah.
The other day.
I can see how that's going to be very addicting.
Almost every person I've talked to that's played Fallout 4, is all they're talking about is Fallout 4.
Yeah. It's one of those ones I was afraid of. I was like, I knew. I was like, okay, I got to finish Rise of the Tomb Raider first. Because if I don't finish that, I don't want to start Fallout 4. Because once I jump into that, like, there's just going to be so much stuff. And I know, like, I won't be able to get to Tomb Raider. I want to give Tomb Raider, like, the focus and the attention that it deserves. So I did that. And once I finished with that, then I was able to jump into Fallout 4. And welcome, Jason. How's it going?
I am out of breath.
You're out of breath. All right. How was your Thanksgiving? How have you been since last we spoke? Did I open a can of worms here? Or?
It wasn't like any sort of like horrible family disaster or anything like that. Like,
Okay.
I'm sure many people's Thanksgivings turn into. Uh-huh. Mostly it just ended up turning out kind of awkward since I was bringing the turkey to the meal and I was horribly sick on Thanksgiving morning. So
okay.
I didn't end up getting to Thanksgiving proper until about 6:30, which of course a turkey needs significantly
time.
More time than that to cook. So I sort of ended up spoiling Thanksgiving.
Oh.
But I blame the sickness. So anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, our buddy Caleb, he didn't even have turkey over Thanksgiving. He had ham both times.
Wow. Okay.
Ham.
So that is sacrilegious, I think. Is that how that goes?
It's so sacrilegious. The leftovers are amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. I was promised the foreman at my work, for some reason, he ended up mentioning to me that my family always has like tons of leftover ham and we never know what to do with it because
nobody
likes ham all that much. So do you like ham? I was like, especially holiday hams are usually really good.
Oh. Yeah.
And so, sign me up. I'll take all of your ham. So I show up to work today. Sorry, there's no ham. It's like the 1 year that they plowed through all of the ham.
Yeah, people wanted ham this year.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's that pork council. Mm-hmm. They put out those commercials and we're like,
I think it is. They're really doing their job. They're on top of
it
this year.
You want ham this year.
The other white meat.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the turkeys who control the pork council. We're like, you don't want turkey. You want pork.
Those fat cat turkeys.
Yeah.
Ruining it for
their cigars.
Turkey days
say,
again.
How can we do this?
Right. Smoked turkeys. Cuban smoked. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Well, how, as regards to feeling better, you seem better.
I feel really good today,
okay,
which is sort of weird because I'm sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop because I felt really nasty all through the weekend. And then I ended up feeling good enough to hit the road and head back home like at the last possible minute for me to do that. And so I ended up taking the trip really late at night, got home like 1 a.m. and then didn't get a whole lot of sleep. And so I spent today actually feeling really good all through the day, but knowing that I didn't get a lot of sleep after I've been sick, I'm waiting for it to like kick my butt a little bit later. So
maybe it's the cold. It's like either energizing you or because of your Norwegian blood or
it might have something to do with it.
Or it's holding off the cold.
Yeah,
like
right.
Frozen.
Yeah. With us, it like works the other way around. Like there's a weird sort of refrigeration that happens to the germs. Yeah. I can't confirm that.
We can neither confirm nor deny the statement made by Jason.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm glad to hear that we all had at least all around good Thanksgivings. Like, nothing bad happened.
Nothing horrid.
That's good.
Yay.
That's good. And speaking of things that aren't horrid, we've got a fantastic show for you tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And for those...
It's not horrid.
It's not horrid.
We're shooting
not
high.
Yeah, we're
not aiming high.
Real high. We're not horrid at all. I know there's going to be one person. I listened to the whole thing. It was pretty horrid. I want my money back. It didn't cost you anything.
But in a cool way, right? Oh, I mean, that's the new hip thing to say.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, it was horrid.
Maybe we'll make horrid the new bad.
Hey, there you go.
I think so. I'm pretty sure we can do that single-handedly.
I think so, too.
Leverage our might.
Yeah. And if you're like, who are these guys and what do they do? Well, we are a Geek Center talk show here in KSU Santa Clara. We talk about tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about space. That's right. Entertainment stuff, comic books, movies, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's geek sort of related, we'll probably hit it at some point.
At some point.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe temporarily quit it. After we hit it.
Yeah.
We always come back.
Okay, so to wrap up our little, geek talk and everything like that, before we take a music break and get to our watch party and all that jazz, is there anything else?
Oh, I don't know. I could launch into a really big thing right now. So
yeah, we don't
I
have time.
Know. No, okay. No time for a big thing.
Just if you got anything short, otherwise we'll hit that music break and then we'll come back with our watch party.
Let's music it up.
Okay. Sounds great. All right. We're going to take that music break. And of course, say you're like, oh man, I'm just getting out of my car, but I still want to listen to these guys. Well, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU.
That's
right. Our call letters are unique on the globe.
Ooh, just the tip. All right, let's take that music break and then come back with the watch party. Right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We are now in our watch party. Hey, Caleb, I turn it over to you.
Alrighty. So, for those catching up, we have been watching the 1985 classic anime known as Dirty Pair.
It's not as dirty as it sounds.
No. The brief overview, there is a pair of ladies that work for an agency called the 3WA, and their official designation is the Lovely Angels. Their colloquial nickname is Dirty Pair because they tend to leave a swath of destruction in their wake. Sometimes amusing, sometimes a little bit cringeworthy. But I think these
AKA entire planets destroyed.
Yeah.
That was the single most cringeworthy moment. Like oh, wow, ooh. Did you really just write that? But I think the episode's been better the last few, it seems like.
Yeah, they haven't destroyed a planet in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They're
working their way up.
They've definitely been on the upswing. So we are now at episode 15. Dig here, meow meow. The reward comes in the end.
Awesome. Ah, these titles.
Yes. Yeah. So very distinctly Japanese, yet also just excessively hilarious.
Okay. So this one, they're kind of channeling the Indiana Jones vibe.
Yes. They very
with
heavily...
an actual shot of a little reference to Indiana Jones.
Yes. Yeah, that was that was like one of my favorite little moments. Like, hey, yeah. Isn't that... actually, Indiana Jones reference right there, beyond like the overarching. So this is a basic. The basic setup is they're on vacation, and
finally
they're finally on vacation. And while on vacation, they encounter a guy who gets into a fight at their resort pool. And of course, Kay jumps into the fight because she loves a good fight.
Yeah.
And
that's my girl.
Turns out he has in his possession a key which will unlock the secrets of an ancient civilization that could potentially net them tons and tons of cash.
Yes. And he's looking for them specifically. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't realize it's them
mm-hmm.
during this scuffle, and then he asks them, "Do you know where the lovely or the dirty pair, you know, where
Lovely Angels?"
Yeah.
Yes. They've worked that guy pretty well in this one.
That was perfectly accented, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I always love when you're listening to like Japanese and they're trying to throw like an American cowboy accent on top of Japanese. That's always kind of a fun little twist to listen to.
Yeah,
and you'll get that here if.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they add Americans, it's always kind of fun. So they go in. They follow his trail to a giant temple in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it still had, if I remember right, like this, it still had elements of, well, we need them to go here, so let's make this suddenly not work anymore, or this needs this, so that doesn't work anymore. So I was just like, okay, like. The garlic short-circuited their robot, so it crashed their plane. for some right. weird reason, and then
right because the robot was navigational computer.
Because I've come across people that smell have like that bad of breath, so
it was
that was sort of poetical
odd.
To me. That was.
It was a little. It was
no. It's unexpected. Okay. It makes complete and total sense. It's a very advanced robot that's made for like ferreting out clues to kind of compensate for their lack of ability to hunt
find
down
the clues themselves.
And so it depends a lot on scent in order to do that. It is their bloodhound because they have a giant cat for a pet instead of an actual bloodhound.
Bloodhound, yeah.
The thing that I loved the most about this is that they've kind of hinted in the past episodes that the cat is more useful than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
But here they outright say, okay, cat, like, fix the robot. And sure enough, the cat, like, pulls out, like, screwdrivers and stuff and starts fixing the robot, which I'm not sure we've seen before. And
not that level of dexterity. Like, the cat has been...
It's mostly seems like it's been implied that the cat's done stuff like off screen.
Yeah,
I just like that they outright made the cat Chewbacca at this point.
Yeah, Moogie is their Chewbacca. Yes, and Yamo is somewhere between R2-D2 and C-3PO. More R2-D2 than C-3PO, but
yeah, I don't think either one of them rock pink high tops. So.
No, think, but in terms of role.
I think Moogie is a combination of C-3PO and Chewbacca.
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, a little bit cowardly, but also like the big
that
hairy
makes
thing.
Sense.
Someone get this giant walking carpet out of my way.
Yeah.
But yeah, the hijinks ensue. Very good. I thought this one was a lot of fun just because like the scenario is like kind of well suited to the storytelling style of the show, like for the characters.
Yeah. It was weird though, unless I missed it. Like their explanation for the bad guy was, I couldn't stand his smell of garlic, so I stole it so I could make the money. It's like, all right.
We've already established it's a very strong smell. If you haven't run across one of these people, I dare you not to turn on them immediately.
I will say though, I was like. For a second, I was like, "Oh, brother!" When they went with the real treasure was teamwork all along.
Right. Yes,
and then at the end, there actually was a treasure. I was like, "Okay, good job, show."
Yeah.
Because for a second, you were like, not making me super happy about this crap.
I did like the ending was pretty poetic though, where you like they just dumped tons of flowers into their apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were happy.
Yes.
Yay! Flowers.
Because girls, supposedly.
Oh, come on. You would do the same thing. I don't care who you are. You have an apartment full of flower petals.
No.
You're gonna twirl around with your arms straight out. You're gonna do that.
Yeah, the hills will be alive at that precise moment. But then you got to clean them all out of your.
Yeah,
apartment.
That's where that happens for like 5 minutes, and you're like, crap!
You have to live in the moment.
It is a good moment. I'll grant you that.
And speaking of living in the moment, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer. You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
I think that's a decent point to move over to the next episode in the, which is episode 16, Leave It to Us. The 3WA is a wonderful job.
This is the one with the head of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right.
Okay.
Yes.
The heiress, so to speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This was that sort of classic, I'm stuck, I want to experience what it's like to be a commoner kind of thing.
Yes.
Right.
And they hire the lovely angels to be the bodyguard for the heiress of this one of the megacorps, like
right.
One of the top five, I think, top three megacorps. So like effectively royalty for in the very modern sense.
But the heiress has different plans.
Dun, does dun, she dun. Ever?
She's going to go shopping.
Yep.
I wish it was a little bit like, I wish I didn't see it coming from a mile away, that she was just going to be like, oh, I decided to have fun on my own. That was the most, I think that's the most disappointing part I've come to in this entire series. Personally, I've been willing to overlook like garlic breath, short-circuiting robots.
Right.
But yeah, that one disappointed me, Sho. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, the plot line was not their strongest one ever, which is saying something. But it was very much exactly what it was intended to be, and for that it was successful. But it doesn't necessarily mean it was there's not much to the episode other than
it was successfully subpar.
yeah.
Although I did like the ending was very. If they were to initiate a distraction for a body switch, that's definitely in their wheelhouse.
Using the biker guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the better moments.
Yeah, that's true. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, like, hey, how's it going? Oh, no, it's you. Yeah. And then it cuts away from there. You're like, not sure what happened. Is she going to beat him up again? But then she turned him around.
Convinced
him
to help them out, yeah.
Don't know how, but
yeah,
that's the power of the lovely angels, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
She does have a charming smile when she wants to.
But only when she wants
to. Only when she wants to.
Yes.
That's Yuri for you.
I think that wraps up that one pretty well. And we move over to episode 17. Come out, assassin. So that's
did you like this one?
Well, this one was all right. For some reason, like the title was not like, it's jarring my memory.
They're looking for someone who killed like an agent of theirs, and it's like they don't know what the person looks like, so they go aboard like a ship, and it's like it's one of them, but then like booby trapped or something. And
yeah, they need an expert cryptographer to like bust the thing. Yeah, that was I like the basic premise because like the whole like lifeboat murder mystery is always kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Premise.
It's really classic, like European murder mystery.
Locked room murder. How do you solve it?
When the episode started out, I was like, whoa, this is a totally different like style of the episode. I was like, oh,
it had
okay.
a much different vibe.
I'm
to
interested
it.
To this, but as it slowly went on, it lost a lot of that. And in my opinion, it was just like, okay, it just kind of went back to the regular show.
Yeah, I feel like that
it
was
had
like
some really awkward moments too, as far as like current cultural standards, like kind of looking at it these days. Like the movie star guy gets like all weird and kind of rapey in one scene. And it's like,
yeah.
And I guess we were just supposed to like shrug it off, like, oh, that's a movie star for you. Oh.
Yeah, that was like, huh. It's like, you knew that Kay wasn't necessarily going to, but at the same time, it's just like,
oh yeah, it pulled through from the standpoint of why I like that character so much, because Kay was like having none of it and like decks the guy, which completely appropriate reaction.
Yes, but there was the setup for that scene was just kind of it turned the creep meter up to 11 on that particular moment.
Yeah, you saw kind of the age of the show.
Yes,
and those moments.
But yeah. What bugged me the most about it is that when you come to like the very end and kind of the big punctuation, like saving, like yay point, where it ends up being that same guy who like saves Kay from tumbling into
the
nether.
Hole. Yeah.
It ends up being like, okay, well, maybe he kind of redeemed himself. I guess saving somebody's life, that's pretty good. So
yeah.
But yeah, in the back of my head, I'm still thinking like, "Oh, come here, baby."
Yeah.
I was waiting for that same moment, and then him like to be distracted, like realize, "Oh, this isn't gonna work because of the spacesuits," and be all like crushed. Like anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for a bit, I was kind of wondering, I was like, okay, how are they going to rescue her? Because the way it's drawn, it's like, she's like right there in the hole, yeah, practically. She,
yeah.
Like, and then
well,
when it...
It is difficult to tell scale against
true,
the backdrop of a black hole, which technically you shouldn't be able to see.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know, science fiction.
Yeah.
But,
you can't see, you should not be able to see the wind either, but they do, they make storms effects work.
but yeah, the, but then when it... It faded to black, and like, you know, it's like, hello, hello, like, and it was like, wait, what? Is this like some sort of dream thing or something? I was like, okay,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
What? How are they solving this? And it was just like that guy, like, I got you, like, oh, okay,
yeah.
So it was all right, and it was weird.
Yeah, it's sort of that he's not a complete jerk, but he's kind of a creep.
Yeah, I will say this episode and the last episode did have the same. A little underlying theme of relying like on each other,
yeah,
like trusting in the other partner, like
yeah.
both episodes had like that moment of like, I know Yuri's gonna get the heiress here,
mm-hmm.
I believe in her, and then
that's
like
true.
And this one was like they were both separated and like I believe, you know,
I trust you to do this, I know you're gonna do that, you always come through,
yeah, you'll always come through thing, like I wonder again, I need to, when we're done I'll have to, well, I say I'll do this, so I probably won't, but...
No, you're going to do it. I trust you. I believe in you.
All right.
You're going to deliver.
Is check, like, the writers, you know, who wrote what episodes, like, if they...
Yeah.
What they decided on or something, but I am, though, getting to that point where we are in the series of, like, well... I don't think there's going to be an overarching story here, and I... Don't know if there's going to be any more reoccurring characters. It's getting close to that end.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still...
They've had some back-to-back episodes where there's people, but yeah, pretty much just the boss so far.
Mm-hmm. The boss
it's
and the
Charlie
assistant.
Charlie and his angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. It is not an uncommon like anime like style of like, first half of the show is whatever. Last half of the show, oh, we actually decided to put a plot in and like have a through line. Like, wait, when did the, how did, what?
Yeah.
I'm not objecting, but when did this happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally just that kind of what we expect from stuff has shifted so much from this time frame.
Yeah, and also the writing styles even of regular television has changed. Like in 1985, like non through line sitcoms were like kind of par for the course.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, let's keep in mind, what do we have to compare this to in like American contemporary culture, like TJ Hooker and like Knight Rider?
Yeah, Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Like, other than like the car and Michael, Kit and Michael, there wasn't a whole lot of...
Or like you mentioned, Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, Charlie's
right,
Angels.
Yeah.
It was Charlie the Angels and then Mystery of the Week. Very good then, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think last week's episodes I enjoyed more than this week's, but I will definitely say these weren't as bad as some of the other ones have been for me.
They had more interesting hooks to them, I thought. Like, the thing that I did appreciate with the last episode was that they did a better job of kind of pulling you through the entire mystery, like, oh, well, maybe it was this person. Like, I suspected the kid, like, from the beginning. It was like, nah, that he's really like 70 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pull that stuff, right? It's like guaranteed.
The instrument he has is really a weapon.
Right, something.
Or like it's like the machine itself reacts to the tones of the thing, like all the Close Encounters of the Third Kind kind of stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
He's totally like an alien bounty hunter / assassin. He's going to be a recurring character, that kid.
I think I missed it. What was the thing with the pilot? Like, the kid was the pilot's son?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so why did the pilot shoot himself?
that part is sort of one of those like, well, we need the plot to move forward.
Okay.
It was one of those like cultural, like I failed my family type things.
Oh, okay.
An honorific death, but it was, it fits into the Melu, but it was also like, we need the plot to move forward in such a way that we create a situation. So therefore, we're using this other trope to progress the rest of the tropes forward.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I think they had a line in there about like, oh, he was always a drunk and never really was invested in our relationship, so he didn't even know about the kid or something like that. So when he finds out about the kid, it's all too much for him, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay.
So yeah, explanation.
Explanation, please.
Really fun explanation.
Yeah. So how many episodes we have left now?
We should have,
because next week we're doing
17, 18, and 19. Okay. So we're really close to the end. There's only 24 episodes.
The end of season one.
24. Okay.
So we've got
All right, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well. I guess that'll do it for, unless there's any.
I can't think of any other. Okay.
So it sounds like overall these weren't our favorite episodes, but they weren't our least favorite episodes. At least
these are definitely in the realm of competent.
Borderline to
actually, like, I think the middle one was my least favorite episode so far.
Okay,
me personally, but.
Yeah. But in terms of like the quality and tone of the show, I think these are on par with the better ones, but still below the best of them.
Maybe you.
Maybe you.
Oh, what? I mean, come on. These guys.
No, that's okay. You're entitled to your opinion no matter how wrong it is.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, what? You outside right now.
No, that's okay.
So yeah, so that'll do it for our watch party. Again, you know, we mentioned that there aren't too many episodes left. You're like, well, it's no point in jumping in now. No, it's never too late.
Literally the most episodic show that we've ever come across. So
yeah,
you can get in the middle of an episode and it'll probably still be perfect.
Yeah.
The only thing you'll need to know is that the main characters are Kay, Yuri, they have a cat named Mugi, and a robot named Yamo.
That's a very large cat, so you don't get thrown off and think it's a bear like I did in the first couple episodes.
Yeah, or like, what is that thing? But anyway,
yeah.
So yes, but if you want to participate on that and let us know what you thought of the episodes and all that jazz, how can they do that, Caleb?
Well, you can go to robotsattack.me, leave comments on the blog posts or on the site itself, or you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are in the background. You're checking them right now.
That's right. All right. We will take a music break now and then come back with the news. Shall we tease them the news? Well, we'll do the new releases.
Yeah, we'll do new
then
releases.
Then we'll do news. But do you want to tease them some news anyway? Just so they're kind of like, oh, I got to come back for that.
How about the small spat between Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk.
Oh, oh boy. There's no such thing as a small spat between those two. You know how they get.
Yeah.
You know how they get. Brazil has an interesting way of sharing racism.
Huh.
Well, all right. There you are then.
I'm intrigued.
I was hoping you would be.
Huh.
Yeah. That and more after this music break here on KSCU.
If that
Santa
doesn't
Clara.
Bring him back, I don't know what will.
I don't know what will either. All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.com.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. We are now in the new releases. Here is a handful of some stuff coming out this week. In the theater, we have Christmas Again, but it hasn't been Christmas yet. Mm-hmm. A heart Broken Christmas tree salesman returns to New York City hoping to put his past behind him. Living in a trailer and working the night shift, he begins to spiral downwards until the saving of a mysterious woman and some colorful customers rescue him from self-destruction. We also have another Christmas-themed movie about destruction, Krampus. When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, young Max is disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Little does he know, this lack of festive spirit has unleashed the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. All hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for each other if they hope to survive.
I am genuinely looking forward to that.
We also have Everything Will Be Fine.
A nice follow-up to Krampus.
Yeah. One day, driving aimlessly around the outskirts of town after a trivial domestic quarrel, a writer named Thomas accidentally hits and kills a child.
Whoops.
Over the next 10 years, he struggles to come to terms with his actions. You spoke too soon.
I did. Spoke way too soon.
Oh, but here we go. Here's something that will cleanse the palate. Fun for the whole family.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Macbeth. Macbeth is the story of a fearless leader and inspiring leader brought low by ambition and desire, a thrilling interpretation of the dramatic realities of the times and reimaginings of what wartime must have been like for one of Shakespeare's most famous and compelling characters, a story of all-consuming passion and ambition set in a war-torn Scottish landscape. Huh. Shakespeare's for the whole family, right?
Right.
It's a Scottish play.
Nothing about play, or it's just plays filled with fun-loving dudes.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. So,
Blu-rays and DVDs.
Moving to Blu-rays and DVDs.
Meanwhile, in Blu-rays and DVDs.
We start with Being Evil. That's spelled E-V-E-L, as in Evil Knievel.
Oh,
I didn't even know it was spelled that way.
Yeah, this biopic delves into the personality that would ride a rocket car across the Grand Canyon. Evil Knievel defined extreme sports for over a decade, and his influence carries on even now.
That reminds me, real quickly, over the Thanksgiving weekend, Encore was doing, like, the greatest sci-fi films of all time, or, like, trying to find the greatest science fiction films of all time, and they had Ghost Rider listed on there, and so it just reminded me of that. Evil Knievel was like, Ghost Rider, it was on, I was like, wow.
So dumb. So the greatest, quote unquote.
It's great.
AKA what we have available.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that makes more sense.
They had some good ones on there. They had Terminator 2, Aliens, Total Recall.
Oh, whatever.
You know, but,
Terminator 2 isn't good.
It's no Ghost Rider.
It's true. It is not a Ghost Rider.
Yeah, not enough chains.
Nope.
If that's not quite your speed, perhaps you might be interested in Grace of Monaco, also on Blu-ray and DVD. It's a look at the dispute between Monaco's Prince Rainier III and France's Charles de Gaulle, and its personal fallout as seen through the eyes of former Hollywood star Grace Kelly. Then there, if you're more of a dark bend, you might consider Good Night, Mommy on Blu-ray and DVD.
Also starring Grace Kelly?
No. It's a story about in a remote house, a pair of young boys wait for their mother. When she returns, she is bound up in bandages from reconstructive surgery, hiding her face. Questions arise in the boys as to if this woman is actually their mother.
Ooh.
And then there is the Yakuza Apocalypse on Blu-ray and DVD.
Whoa.
An aging Yakuza boss turns out to be a vampire. One day, his clan is challenged by a rival group, and with his dying breath, the boss passes his powers on to a second command who seeks vengeance upon the rival gang.
Why didn't they just do Yakupocalypse or something like that? I
don't think that that's a construction that of title they normally...
Yakuzapocalypse?
Yeah, I'm not sure that that happens. I'm not sure that's a construction that the Japanese language is common for.
Vampopocalypse? Yakuza style?
Yeah. And then there's a few notable, and I say notable because they're not always the best movies, but these are actually pretty good. Coming to Blu-ray, Downhill Racers getting a Criterion Collection release, there's also Blu-ray releases of Toy Story 1, 2, and 3.
Boo.
And Naked Gun 2 and a half, The Smell of Fear.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. That takes you back.
Yes. Which is like, I've got to put that one in. So.
Yeah, okay. so we go from there to the wonderful world of video games.
Huzzah!
Yeah, they're kind of shaking it up this week. So there's a couple of kind of big releases. You have Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, which, of course, like stunned a lot of people a few E3s back, and people have been waiting with bated breath ever since. So we'll see if it turns out to be as awesome as everybody has hoped and expected it to be. Mm. Next up, we have Just Cause 3, which is like trying to out testosterone, I think, the Fast and the Furious series, I think.
Wow.
But it looks like it's doing a pretty good job with it, because it's not only got the normal grappling gun with parachute gameplay that the last one had, but they added like a diving wingsuit too. So Whoa. You can effectively like fly across the map like you're Batman, except at like 50 or 60 miles per hour. So right. So, and if you were always like annoyed by Batman's penchant for not like carrying guns, you can be strapped up with AK-47s like in each hand and so on. So yeah.
As you do.
Yes. Well,
as you
yeah,
do in a wingsuit.
When you're in a wingsuit being grappled across a map.
Trailing after a Harrier jet.
Next up, I had to choose this one just because of the name, if nothing else. It's Corgi Warlock.
It's so cute.
Right. It
Corgi
doesn't,
Warlock?
Corgi Warlock.
Wow.
It looks like it's trying to function kind of in the same groove as Castle Crashers and that sort of thing, except it's more of a classic, completely straight across Contra style game, but you can do up to four players, and each of the characters the players choose can be anything in a range of like the entire animal kingdom, best I can tell.
Oh, okay.
So you can be like a fish warlock and a pug warlock. Basically everything that you can imagine that has like some sort of silly face on it. And the corgi has an appropriately like, I'm really excited to be here face on it.
Because corgis.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's also trying to feed off of the style of games like Cuphead. Probably not quite as well executed, but it's definitely got some style, and they definitely chose a awesome name for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
So the big thing that really threw me off is that apparently the biggest, baddest release of this week that everybody's raving about is on Wii U, of all things.
This is the sound of people falling on the floor. What?
Right. Okay. It's Xenoblade Chronicles 10.
Oh. Okay.
And apparently it is the most massive open world game that anybody's ever come up with, which still I can't reconcile with the idea of it being a Wii U title. But yeah, it has a lot of impressive things from what I can tell, the biggest of which is about halfway through the game, apparently you get access to kind of Veritech-style mechs. Huh. That can shape change and allow you to traverse the entire world at breakneck speeds. So yeah, it looks really cool.
The Xenoblade series has always been pretty solid, from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Well reviewed and well played by a lot of the hardcore RPG folk.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing a title that might actually get some Wii U's off of the shelves. So
that isn't a Mario game.
Yeah,
that's true.
Mario or Zelda. Or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Zelda one got pushed back to possibly being a launch title for the next system.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, those are kind of the big ones for this week. The rest of the stuff was your general smorgasbord of PC releases.
Nice. Well, speaking of big... A classic rock Christmas.
Yeah!
Performed by the high-powered quintet December People at Campbell's Historic Heritage Theater on December 10th is featuring the classic rock Sock Drive, benefiting Downtown Streets team.
Huh.
For information, call 408-866-2700 or visit heritagetheater.org. That's 408-866-2700 or heritagetheater.org.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's a nice break, and it sends us right into comics. We're going to start with DC. It's Robin War, number one. Damian Wayne is back in Gotham, and I guess you can't keep a Wayne down for long.
Ooh.
And this homecoming is not a happy one. The streets are full of kids wearing the R. Bruce is nowhere to be seen, and Batman is in a suit of armor and helping the GCPD put the kibosh on the streams of Robins? On top of all of that, former Robins, Grayson, Red Hood, and Red Robin are also back in Gotham. It's a clash of red.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's funny, I've heard of all of those things separate, and they all sounded kind of cool, but when you smash them all together, yeah, it sounds like a bit much for good old Damien.
All by himself to figure out, yeah. Maybe he'll be teaming up with the other former Robins. We shall see. Over at Marvel, it's an all-new X-Men, number one. It's a new day for the mutants of Earth, and on this day, they forge their own path. Cyclops, Beast, Angel, Iceman, the new Wolverine, Kid Apocalypse, and Ouya are the new X-Men.
Ouya?
Ouya. O-Y-A. Or maybe Ouya?
Ouya?
I'm
guessing it's Ouya.
I'm just imagining the Ouya.
I don't think they want it to be Ouya.
The Strange Little VoIP Service? What?
Ouya.
No.
Video game
The Kickstarter video game system.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm an X-Men now.
So I'm wondering how long it'll take for them to graduate new Wolverine into just Wolverine.
Oh, she already is.
Well, I know, but they're still like calling her predominantly new Wolverine.
Well, yeah, I mean, like she only just got her title, her own solo title as Wolverine.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I'd be happy if it's next week, but I'd still wonder.
Raise the question, yeah. Mm. Sort of with the Thor,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
yeah. The thing that was kind of was looking over the list was like I saw the cover of it. I'm like, wait, why is Scott so young? And then I'm like, oh yeah, because they dragged classic original X-Men Scott Summers and Jean Grey and all them into the modern age, and that's how we have
Beast.
a young Scott Summers and a non-furry Beast as part of this. This all makes more sense. Like, why is Iceman and Cyclops so young? That's because it is young Cyclops and young Iceman. Anyways, over at Dark Horse, it's Call of Duty Black Ops 3, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
The information takes the operatives deep into the Arctic Circle and deeper into a cataclysmic conspiracy. At Image, it's East of West, number 22. The war between the nations heats up. They like very brief descriptions of their upcoming titles.
No spoilers. It's pretty good.
It's true. From IDW, it's My Little Pony, Friendship Forever.
Oh, spoiler.
23.
Yeah, forever. Oh, I don't need to read it. They're already going to be friends forever. I know the ending.
Yeah. Will their friendship end? No, it's in the title.
Forever.
They're like bridge crew. They don't die.
Quit trying to play with me.
It's in this issue, Applejack and Fluttershy are going camping. While they're out there, they aim to find the elusive Pegasus and prove once and for all if pigs can fly.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And our fine friends over at Wow Cool have some recommendations for you. Dark Corridor, number 5, from Image. Along with Humans, number 10, also Image. And Paper Girls, number 3, also Image. And then a couple of Marvel titles. Doctor Strange, number 3. And Miracle Man, number 5.
Hmm.
And they found a couple cool graphic novels to toss your way. There's one called Private Eye and Space Raiders.
Ooh.
I was going to say, I don't recognize that brand. Who's GN? Oh, okay.
Graphic novel.
All right, I will wrap us up with some new music. We've got Black Market by Rick Ross. We've got A Head Full of Dreams by Coldplay. We've got Return of the Tender Lover by Babyface. And Speedin' Bullet to Heaven by Kid Cudi.
All right.
Oh, and one last thing.
Oh boy, what happened?
Wow Cool is having a sale right now, going through Tuesday. Just so you know.
Okay.
Go to their website or hit their local comic shop.
Oh man, we're in so much trouble now. All right, that'll do it for new releases. We'll take another music break and then come back with the news. I know we teased them earlier, but let's tease them again just in case they forgot or mm-hmm. they're just tuning in now.
If you're just tuning in now, we have a small spat between two of the bigger private space industry leaders.
Yeah, and Brazil is sharing racism.
Oh man, I'm waiting on that one. I'm curious.
Where is that?
The entire country.
The whole place.
It's probably a little bit smaller than that.
And of course, since we will be jumping into the news and our news stories, where do we post them and how can they participate?
Well, if you would like to hear more about and participate in the news stories, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. And those will be live updated as we talk about them during the show. And if you're coming to this later, robotsattack.me for the canonical list.
That's right. Okay, let's take that music break and then come back with more Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at robotsattackme. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook, and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? You can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. All right, gentlemen, let's get into...
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are in the news. Let's news them.
Alrighty. I'm going to start off with the billionaires bristle over best blast-off ballistics, or let's Whoa. Land laughing and launch again.
Wow.
I had way too much fun writing that headline.
Yeah. That's like a...
That's a dirty pair.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking more along the lines of Rocky and Bullwinkle, but yes, also that.
Oh, that's true.
Okay,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, the background for this is that there are essentially three major players for private space travel. SpaceX, which is run by Elon Musk, is kind of probably the
Muskinator.
Yeah,
people in the know call him.
I'm sure someone does.
Senior Muskie.
I don't know if he talks to them in face to face when they call him that though.
The Muskrat.
The SpaceX team is very well known because they are have actually launched capsules and supplies up to the ISS system.
Mm.
So they have that kind of going for them. The other two big ones are Virgin Galactic, which is Richard Branson's low Earth orbit or high Earth orbit.
With his beautiful golden hair.
Yes.
And beard.
I guess technically low Earth orbit because it doesn't actually breach go into like actual space, okay. But it like kind of skips across the atmosphere idea. Space tourism is kind of where his idea is, so you can like...
And the best smile in the biz.
One of. The other company that you may not have heard of is Blue Origins, which is run by Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos, the guy who owns Amazon.
It's funny, I've never actually heard the name of it. It's always just been Bezos's thing.
Yeah, the name of the company is like a quote unquote best kept secret. Like people know it exists, but not everyone like knows its name apparently. Like
okay.
Mr. Bezos recently put their name on the map by tweeting out announcement saying that they had successfully landed a booster stage rocket vertically at a desert platform.
Oh, okay.
Which
And it looks legit too. It's like a big hunk of metal. It's not like little model rocket or anything.
Yeah, no. This was a production scale booster rocket that went up, hit low atmo, and then came back down and landed on a platform directly.
It's like half the size of a freight car standing up.
Yeah, it's decent size. Now, if this sounds sort of familiar, SpaceX has been working on a similar system for landing theirs on a floating platform out in the ocean. With
the landing part has been a little bit troublesome.
Been the tricky. Yeah, and there was a minor, fairly good-natured jabbing at each other between Bezos and Elon Musk about this, because Elon Musk was like, "Yeah, but we bring our rockets down from actual orbit, and the Blue Origin one doesn't actually reach orbit height."
Okay,
it is a certain amount of semantical difference, and there is calculable difference between the two of them that doesn't make Blue Origin's landing any less impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be really cool to see where this goes, because as all this is where the competition that improves a lot of different aspects of scientific innovation and stuff like that kind of come into play as different groups start jockeying for maybe their own little niche, but also like trying to push each other. Like, yeah, we are the best at this. We got ours to do this. Oh yeah, well we can get ours to do that.
So basically, Amazon Prime is for space. Deliveries.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
A couple years in time.
It's like, we're looking at you, ISS.
Yeah.
Amazon Now is now on your computers.
Yeah.
We installed the apps on all of them.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes. But this is also really important, because reusable rockets will also help drive the cost of space travel down by a lot.
Very true, very true.
So... there we go. There's interesting developments on all sides, and I wish the best for both Mr. Bezos and Mr. Musk, and even Mr. Branson as well. I like to see where that
what
goes.
What about me, Caleb? What about me?
What about the best smile in the biz?
I'm curious, because like since theirs is more of an actual plane as opposed to a rocket, it'll be interesting to see how that plays
out.
It
could work better than everything else.
It potentially could, and that's where it'll be interesting to see where it all goes.
Okay.
Tell me about this racism.
Well, okay.
Let me tell you about racism.
Yeah. So we're familiar with the intricacies of the internet, that it sometimes fosters a culture where people feel like they can just say whatever they want.
Series of tubes.
Mm-hmm.
Through their series of tubes, they just...
run by cats.
They throw something onto the internet and goes... throomp. into somebody's living room, and they're like, "Oh, that's horrible and racist," and
yep.
So yeah, in Brazil, there's a civil rights group called Crioula. It sounds like
not to be confused with
the crayon. It's like a combination of Crayola and like Cruella de Vil, in my view.
Interesting.
So like very happy-go-lucky, colorful Cruella de Vil.
Yeah. So
okay.
Instead of black and white, she's waiting for colors this time. I can see it.
So okay. So the civil rights group Crioula has an interesting idea on how to combat internet racism within their country. So their idea is to take posts that they find randomly from Facebook and Twitter specifically, and take geotag information off of those posts and apply them to billboards in the neighborhoods of the people who posted them.
Wow.
Okay.
It will definitely get a reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like people who don't know what's up, if it's going to be taken the right way, or if they're going to be taking like... well, wait, is this like pro bigotry or anti? What's happening here? I mean, true, Ted, my neighbor, shouldn't be saying these things. And I'm glad I know that about him now. But at the same time, I don't know if it needed to be on a billboard. But yeah, it's legitimately like full-sized billboards, like straight up the same size that you see along the freeway. Huh. And it's basically supposed to make people so they can't just like post and run type of thing. But it is kind of interesting too from the standpoint of it's stuff that's already using services that have your face right next to it. So I guess the idea is to make sure that the wider community knows exactly how horrible you are.
It will definitely removes the anonymity from the situation.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like there's been a steady but incremental hiking of what I'd kind of like to call the shame war in mm-hmm. the world.
Mm. Yeah.
And this seems to be one of the bigger weapons that has been cracked out in the shame war.
That's it's a pretty good sized cannon. I will not deny.
Yeah.
Right.
How they form their spread.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it would be interesting.
Working on, but
yeah. It would be interesting. Like if they miss it and it ends up like one block over, where nobody that knows this person ends up ever seeing. I know I'm supposed to know him, but do you know him? Everybody's like asking. It's like finally the guy down in the corner runs the donut shop. He's like, oh yeah, he comes in, he gets old fashions.
Yeah, like, you look all familiar the time. For some reason.
Oh, of course. Everybody he gets old fashions you. Because
oh,
yeah.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Anyway,
that person running for mayor. Why does they have a bill?
That would be pretty good if it's somebody doing political stuff. Anyway, so yeah.
Okay.
That is the latest in racism in Brazil.
Well,
I didn't say the greatest. Yeah. I said the latest.
Yeah, okay.
Well, my
save
story...
Save us from this.
...involves a set of incredible fossils from southwest China revealing something amazing.
Huh.
520 million-year-old brains.
Million?
Oh, some preserved ancient zombies gold. Are going to love that.
It's like old wine, you know? Like all aged perfectionist brains. These brains have been aged for 520 million years.
Like fine cheese.
Zombies go antiquing.
Yeah, and some preserved in fool's gold. So, you know, it's like those truffles with the gold.
Oh, wow.
You know, on there. So there
nice.
You go. So the brains belong to shrimp-like creatures just a few centimeters long called... Oh, boy.
Brain shrimp.
Huxian Huya Protesa.
Nailed it.
Yep. Which scuttled around the seafloor during the Cambrian period. Before this time, most life on Earth was very simple. During the Cambrian, life exploded in diversity and complexity. Researchers led by Nicholas Strausfeld, a neuroscientist at the University of Arizona, first discovered fossilized brains this old in 2012, but only reported on one specimen. Now Strausfeld and his colleagues have analyzed seven more fossils and discovered bits of brain in each.
Wow. They
reported their findings online. The new paper confirms that F. Protensa had a surprisingly complex three-part brain split into sections called the protocerebrum, deltocerebrum and tritocerebrum. This is similar to the brains of today's modern crustaceans and insects, which, like shrimpy little F. protensa, are arthropods. The research also clarifies how soft tissue like a brain could survive for half a billion years in fossil form. The brain fossils appear as black shadows on otherwise yellowish fossils. The researchers wrote in their paper, this black stain is rich in carbon. Oh, the carbon. While the surrounding fossilized tissue is heavy in iron. Oh, the iron. Oh, it's heavy. Some of these carbon brain
that's heavy, Doc.
Films are overlaid with pyrite, commonly known as fool's gold.
I love that stuff. Beautiful.
To fossilize, the ancient arthropods would have to have been buried very rapidly, possibly by an underwater mudslide. Oh, the mudslides. Strausfeld and his colleagues wrote, The fine-grained sediments would have sealed out oxygen, mm-hmm. so that's important, and pressed water out of the arthropod brains, a process called dewatering. That's in quotes. Reducing them to the carbon-rich film, film seen in the fossils today. Article will have some pictures you can check out. Sulfate-eating bacteria in the sediment could then chow down on the organic material. Excreting a compound called biosulfate where the brain used to be. This biosulfate, keep talking, would have then reacted with iron. There's that iron again. In the surroundings to create pyrite deposits.
Just as heavy as it was 30 seconds ago.
The fact that the brains could be preserved in this way suggests that the cells of the F. protensa nervous system were tightly packed and dense. This density would have allowed the brains to survive the weight of the mud that buried the animals. Dewatering is different from dehydration, and it happens more gradually, Strausfeld said in a statement. Quote, during this process, the brain maintains its overall integrity, leading to its gradual flattening and preservation. F. protensis tissue densely appears to have made all the difference. So there you go, man.
So they I know that's density? The theory on how it all works, but I think it was a little tiny Darth Vader testing out little carbonite chambers. Little shrimp Darth Vader.
And come with me. It is your density.
Yeah, and then a little shrimp Boba Fett next to him, like, what if he doesn't survive?
Right. It's, so good it's to worth dead. A lot to me.
No, you don't say it that way.
Why not?
Because it's canon.
Because he's not Australian, he's New Zealand.
That's true also.
If you want to go that road, I'll go with you.
Going down a road that neither of those are is, something near and dear to our hearts on two fronts, DARPA and robotics.
Ooh.
And also exciting for me because the Maker Movement, there is a new robotics competition that is being funded and headed up by DARPA that is called the Robotics Fast Track. And it's offering up a substantial amount to individuals or companies or groups that are building robot prototypes. This challenge is not a replacement for the DARPA Robotics Challenge, which is about purpose-built specialty robots for a specific challenge. This is about getting the community together to kind of solve unique problems or aspects of robotics that are useful in areas for everyone. And
so it's not just one specific thing, like, okay, we need you to design a robot for this.
It's like we're looking for robotics projects of all stripes. And because they recognize that open sourcing hardware and software is a big part of the Maker Movement, and also it's not an insignificant part of creating culture around technology and stuff. They are leaving that as an option for any company or creator that makes something for them. They aren't going to take away that right. They want you to use this to help start a company, start a project.
Okay.
You know, cool. The idea is to further the good of humanity and society with your project, and they do reserve the right to use to be able to use that invention as in a future Department of Defense project. But you are allowed to take your private thing and continue to use it.
Okay.
But if you receive the funding, they will also reserve the right to use that in their own projects. Okay. But it's a really cool idea because it might be a way to sort of help bootstrap a company or a project to get them started. Mm-hmm. And then they can, once they have kind of a groundswell, they can then move on to either more directed projects for a DARPA team or a DARPA initiative, or they can spin off into more private organizations and things like that.
Nice.
Yeah. It's kind of a neat
a neat twist on the idea. And they're really hoping to bring in a lot of independent thinkers, people that are solving unique problems or curious issues, like, you know, a Mars rover, like something like a Mars rover kind of idea, but how do we make a more supple hand for grasping rocks or collecting samples or analyzing? Because they want to expand it beyond just objects. It's also like software and vision and all these other aspects of data gathering with a robotic device.
Yeah. Yeah. And who knows what someone's working on might spark something.
Exactly.
You never would have thought, like, mm-hmm. oh, actually, that might help us do this, or maybe we can use that for this.
Yeah, trying to bring community and synergy together to make the whole thing that much better.
And speaking of community, mm-hmm. if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. And look for them on Facebook.
Okay. I debated quite a bit about what my next story is going to be. Uh-oh. And I'm going to do kind of a big one. Okay. Because this actually started, according to this, 11 days ago. And it comes from Kotaku. Me personally, I've had kind of a weird view of Kotaku back and forth, because they do a lot of articles that I don't really feel like are real journalism articles. They're definitely more along the lines of just dude blogging type of thing. Uh-huh. But at the same time, they really like to pull up the flag every once in a while, like, we're official games journalists and we deserve all the respect that comes with that.
Gotcha.
Like, mm-hmm. a second after they posted something that was just pure commentary from somebody. And anyway, so this, about 11 days ago, Stephen Totillo posted something that was basically talking about what he viewed as the price of games journalism and what toll it's exacted on Kotaku. Basically, it talks mostly about their dealings with Bethesda and I forget which other company. But what it really comes down to is that they had some run-ins where they published some stories that major developers weren't happy with them publishing, and okay. so according to them, they weren't getting press releases or copies of games from those publishers anymore. So basically, they were knocked back down to where the rest of the world is.
Okay. Well, they gotta like wait in line like everyone else.
Right. So
heathens.
A bunch of people have kind of chimed in on this, because it does create some interesting questions. Because if it is journalism, it seems a little bit weird that you're kind of setting up a scenario where games companies pick and choose like who's allowed to have a view of stuff to effectively give a review in a timely manner to whoever wants it. Because mm-hmm. if you don't get a pre-copy of something and you don't get press releases ahead of time, you end up posting stuff like days or weeks later. Mm-hmm. And of course, that ends up translating into losing money if you're somebody who's trying to monetize this stuff.
Yeah.
So it definitely hurts them. But the other side of it is that they got into this fix by posting stuff that already made them money off of things that effectively hurt the companies that are trying to help them not make money now. Anyway, so it gets pretty complicated, but the tone of the article ended up kind of bugging me in general, just because it ended up basically being a cry for help from the Kotaku community. Like, everybody pay attention to us because we're having problems with this stuff.
Right.
So effectively it's asking them to go and yell at Bethesda and whatever other companies to get them to start giving them free stuff again. So a lot of people had problems with that also. So it gets more and more complicated here, but in a way that I kind of think is funny, because the next people who weighed in on it because they had a comic scheduled for the very next day was Penny Arcade.
Oh, okay.
So Penny Arcade ended up posting a comic that I thought was hilarious, that it's effectively a play on the old thing of, and I'm familiar with this from them using the old story in like an episode of Voyager. So oh, it's okay. Like, to me, it's like the worst possible thing as far as kitsch value that ends up translating to. But it's an old thing about, like, if you're there's a creature that's going to give a scorpion a ride on its back across a river. And it ends up saying, well, okay, I know how you are. You're a scorpion. You sting things. Like, why would I do this? And the scorpion ends up persuading, like, well, no, I'm not going to do this. Why would I do that? We both drown. That's like, it's dumb. You don't do that.
Right, right.
And so the scorpion persuades the other animal, like, okay, I'll just jump on my back. We'll swim across the river. Mm-hmm. Halfway across the river, the scorpion stings the creature, and they both end up drowning. And, like, in his dying breath, the creature is like, what gives, man? Now we're both going to drown. And the scorpion's like, well, I mean, I got to be me type of thing. So Penny Arcade plays off of this with sort of a monk instead of the fuzzy creature. I forget what it was originally. And the monk is effectively saying, like, well, you're a games journalist. I can't really trust you with any of the stuff that I have to say, so I don't really want to talk to you all that much. And the scorpion's sitting there on his shoulder like, well, what? I mean, you can trust me. I'm not going to, like, jump on Twitter, like, immediately after this and go and air your dirty laundry to the world type of thing. And the monk's like, okay. I'll believe you this time. And ends up, like, sharing things, apparently. And the next thing is literally a scorpion, like, on Twitter, like, posting all of this stuff. And the monk's like, well, what gives, man? Come on. I mean, you really messed me up here. And the scorpion ends up replying to him, games journalist got a games journal. Anyway, so I thought it was just kind of a funny little extra thing. But what elevates it into sort of a more poetical territory, Kotaku has a weekly comic book thing that they sum up what they believe is like the best web comics of the week.
Oh, okay.
And so they post stuff, and every single week they have something from Penny Arcade.
Right.
Guess what was missing from this week's Kotaku? So people called Kotaku out on it, and the lead for, I think the lead editor, I forget his name, ends up responding on Reddit, and it's like, well, why would we post something from somebody who's obviously combative with us? I mean, why help them out? And so it's literally them doing the exact same thing that they were complaining about like 3 days earlier. And true, it is a different guy. Oh. It was one of, I believe, one of the head writers versus like the editor for the company.
Oh, okay.
But still, I mean, they got to talk a little bit, right?
One would hope.
Think, yeah.
So yeah, it ends up creating a whole bunch of weirdness, just like, I've heard a bunch of people mention, well, it's a bad precedent set doing any sort of blacklisting, which is what Bethesda and the other company ended up doing, supposedly, since there's no proof of this inherently in the way it's done. But it does end up creating sort of problems that, as far as the community of video gamers, you definitely want as many people getting those early copies as possible, because you never know who's going to be the one that catches kind of the big thing that nobody else noticed.
Yeah,
right. And people have pushed forward Metal Gear as one of the bigger ones, because it's a massive game, and a lot of people weren't happy with the ending of it. Mm-hmm. And so if Kotaku in that instance would have been the one that got through it faster than anybody else and was able to report on the ending of it, that would be valuable for a lot of people. So it just ends up being kind of a weird sort of ground to stand on, because I can see everybody's point for why they're kind of pushed out of shape. But at the same time, I feel like being the guy like, take that talk with all of your blog waving and everything like that. So I sort of wanted to ask like what your guys' perspective on it was. And I think I summed it up as well as I could. Just because it is sort of a weird situation, and it's definitely news, albeit 11 days late at this point.
Ah, 11 days.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a long-standing problem, and it's something that doesn't just happen touch to video games. It also inhabits a lot of tech media also.
Mm-hmm.
All these companies by giving a positive review of something, then they usually are more likely to receive the next product. But at the same time, if you don't ever have something critical, or maybe not always 100% positive to say about something, you know, are you going to temper your feelings in order to make sure you get the next exclusive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have mentioned that too. But in fairness, that's not what ended up happening this time around.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what a lot of people point at, that you want to make sure that that doesn't ever happen, which I completely agree with. But mm-hmm. it feels like this was a step earlier than that. This is before a game is even out. And that's where I feel like it's kind of holy territory in a weird sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
If a game isn't even finished yet, it's kind of like if you're doing a piece of artwork.
Right.
And you're about halfway through it,
mm-hmm.
or even three quarters of the way through it, and somebody walks up to you and says, the eyes aren't quite right on it. Like, you're going to turn around and you're going to be angry and you're going to be like, it's not finished. Get out of my face.
My happy little tree is not done yet. Back
right,
off.
Right, exactly. So step off, Bob Ross. So yeah, it ends up being this weird little space, because games journalism, the big stories are where the game isn't finished yet.
Mm.
But that's kind of holy territory. That do you want to mess with that, because it's not finished yet? So,
Well, posting a review of a pre-release of a game seems questionable to me.
Mm.
Like, thoughts and opinions.
Thank you for agreeing that Kotaku is a horrible organization.
Well, it's like it definitely puts it in a position of like, you're talking about, you're saying something negative about something that isn't finished yet. Maybe you have, maybe like if you were to couch it in this is an opinion piece by this particular writer, as opposed to there's a review of the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that is a, I don't know. Then if like you're under NDA about whether you can talk about something until it's done yet, then you need to respect that, I would think. That I don't know the specifics of the agreements between said companies and news organizations is always kind of like, no one, that's the part that we may not know.
Yeah, and Penny Arcade, and it was actually the writer for Penny Arcade. It doesn't sound like the actual artist weighed in on this at all. I don't know if it's because he didn't have a real problem with it or not, but the writer, he posted a fairly long thing about it when they posted the comic, and effectively he was saying that, well, we've had tons of dealings with these same journalists, not necessarily Kotaku per se, but I think he literally said their ilk. He's a writer, he loves all that stuff. He loves saying ilk as much as possible. But the problem ends up being that they do end up, they take like little shreds of stuff and they'll polish it to a point that it becomes a story when it really wasn't a story to begin with and it wasn't really ready to be released, and that's when it can cause a lot of damage also. And I don't, he didn't make any reference to any specifics, but apparently it's ended up messing with Penny Arcade a fair number of times in the past, because I mean, they do a lot of video game type stuff, and so they're covered by the exact same journalists. So it's interesting how it ends up kind of infringing on other territories also, just because there's a lot of people that like video games.
Yeah.
And I also, like, they produced a few games, and I wonder if they also were on the stick side of
that's true. I forgot about that.
Carrot side of this whole conversation also.
Yeah, it very well could have had something to do with that also.
So
It's big.
Yeah. There's no simple answers, but I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that Kotaku was a horrible organization. Okay, maybe not horrible. Questionable.
Some would argue that would be their yeah, well, I won't go into that.
Yeah. Okay, I'll wrap us up on KSU Santa Clara with this day in history, November 30th. In 1804, the Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase was tried for political bias.
Oh, okay.
Then we
That'll
jump.
Do it, I mean.
Yeah. We jump to 1900. Irish author Oscar Wilde died in Paris at age 46.
Aw.
Then we jump 40 years later, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were married.
Okay. Wow.
Then we jump to the 60s. In 1966, Barbados became independent of Great Britain.
I didn't even know they were together.
Mm. Then in 1974, the fossilized remains of a female human ancestor named Lucy, after the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, were found in Ethiopia.
Oh, not I Love Lucy, a reference to the previous story.
Although that is interesting.
That would be funny if the second one they found was like they named Desi. No relation.
Then in 1993, the Brady Bill requiring a 5-day waiting period for handgun purchases is signed.
Okay.
And then in 2 years later, in 1995, President Bill Clinton became the first U.S. president to visit Northern Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Pretty intense.
You'd think it's like a nice place. You'd think it would just be
like you want to go
a destination.
Visit. Yeah. Then, to wrap us up in this day in history, in 2004,
okay,
Ken Jennings ended his 74-game winning spree on the game show Jeopardy.
Wow. Oh, okay. Man, that's a lot of winning.
What is OP?
Yeah, what is OP?
That guy.
Oh, okay.
Ken Jennings.
Just sitting next to the definition.
A picture of him in the book. There
yeah.
You go.
Alrighty, that's going to do it for this week's Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. I want to thank you for tuning in, and of course, it's not too late to participate.
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, twitter.com/robotsattackme, or better yet, now since we are at this point in the show, the best way is to go to robotsattack.me. Then you can leave comments, catch up on old episodes, see all the story links. It is the one place for all things Robots Attack.
That's right. All right, we'll be back next week with more Robots Attack. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you next time.
Raccoon, Veronica, Misto.